It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
You are now listening to TBL on silverandblackpride.com.
Everybody, we are back. It is Tape Don't Lie. You guys already know it's your favorite Raiders podcast, favorite Raiders channel, favorite Raiders YouTube, favorite Raiders breakdowns. You guys already know what it is. All right. So, you know, you already know what to do as well. Subscribe, subscribe, subscribe. Make sure you hit the subscribe button. Subscribe to us. You know, like I said, we appreciate all feedback. So go ahead and hit that like button if you like it. Hit the dislike button if you don't like it. You already know how that goes, right? And then, you know, leave a comment, right? If you like it, leave a comment. If you don't like it, don't leave a comment. Or, you know, leave a comment. Let us know you don't like it, right? And also, you know, if you hear this on iTunes or, you know, Spotify, you're an audio guy, you know, you like the audios, you know, make sure you hit the download and, you know, hit the subscribe button on iTunes and Spotify for Silver and Black Pride, where you can hear this podcast, right? And then you make sure you also subscribe to my boy, Matt Holder's, Holder's Handfuls. I couldn't even think about it right now. Holder's Handfuls. So make sure you subscribe, you know, subscribe to that and check him out with all his good interviews that he's doing over there. So, you know, and also make sure you follow us on Twitter at the Mark John NFL for me, and then at BD Williams 18. All right. And then, you know, we're going over the win over the Miami Dolphins, right? Raiders 3-0. So, you know, we're going to be breaking down everything that happened in that game. I mean, not everything, but we're going to be looking at some key things and, you know, talking about the offense and the defense. Today, I'm going to be going over, you know, Drake versus Barber. You know, there is a little bit of a, you know, Kenyon Drake kind of didn't play in overtime or really late in the fourth quarter of that game. Well, late in the fourth quarter, but he didn't really play in overtime. So I'm going to kind of show you guys why that happened. I think you guys kind of have an idea, but there's a really, really big reason that probably nobody noticed on TV that I'm going to show, you know, and BD, what are you going over today?
Yeah, man, I'm going to go over the pass rush, you know, a little bit, and some improvements that we're seeing on the Raiders defense, plus working in Divine Diablo into the defense, some interesting things that they're doing with Diablo. So I'll be diving into that as well.
Okay.
Yeah. I thought it was funny when you were talking, you know, doing the introduction. You can find Tape Don't Lie in a lot of different ways.
Yeah.
Formats, right?
Yeah.
You know, type it in on Google. You're going to see a lot of different pages for you to find our content. You know, mm-hmm. We also, Marcus and I, we both contribute to Silver and Black Pride, which is an SB Nation sports blogs, you know, for the Raiders, dedicated to the Raiders. So you can find all our written work there too. There's a million ways to find it. I just thought that was funny when you're talking about dropping all those streaming services. You know what I'm saying?
Oh, man. And I even forgot to sponsor the Manscaped, bro. So I forgot.
Oh, we got Manscaped.
Discount code, you know? TDL, guys. Discount code TDL. Make sure you guys support that. We appreciate all the people that supported. We got 11 people last month to support that. So we appreciate all you guys that did that. And, you know, all the love that you guys will show us. So we appreciate all the support, you know, so we appreciate it. But back to the game, you know, it was going back to the all 22. It was definitely a different experience than when I you know, from, you know, the broadcast and things like that, you know, even some of the blown blocks that I chartered from the broadcast, I ended up changing once I got to, you know, the all 22. So it was a little different. I thought the offensive line played better than people think. I thought, you know, they got a lot of crap this week. I know Leatherwood got killed by Emmanuel Ogba. I know a lot of people get killed by Emmanuel Ogba though. So, you know, he's going through the fire, man. He's got Joey Bosa coming up this week and then he's got Khalil Mack coming. So it's coming too. And, you know, Alex Leatherwood, yeah, he is struggling right now. You know, I feel like he's just not getting into a set quick enough. I feel like people are beating him around the edge. I feel like he's stopping. He's like getting to a set and he's stopping instead of just keeping going to a set. And like Ogba hit him with some crazy and some Yannick Ngakoue cross chops that Emmanuel Ogba, they must have had some, a Nigerian meeting. and went over cross chops because he did the same jump cross chop that he Yannick does. So I thought I saw a lot of that. I thought, you know, Andre James had the bad snaps. I know he's getting killed on Twitter right now. He has his issues with the bad snaps. Snaps are really slow coming back, but I still thought that he didn't play as bad as I thought too. I didn't think that it was, you know, an awful performance from him, but it wasn't like the best performance ever either.
Yeah.
So I thought he was just average. I thought John Simpson had a really bounce back week. He was really good in pass pro this week, and he was really good in run game. I can never get that guy's name right. So I just said 72.
Yeah,
72. He's solid, man. That's a solid guard, dude. He's solid all around. He's just, you know, I feel like, yeah, at this point, I feel like he's a little bit of, you know, a little bit of an upgrade over Denzel Good because of how solid he's been. He's been like him and Colton Miller have been the guys that have really not have messed up, you know, when the other players have been making mistakes. You know, John Simpson had the bad week last week. And then you got the good week. He bounced back this week because he's not playing Cam Hayward anymore. But he bounced back this week, had a better week. And then, Colton Miller's been steady. I mean, he's had some issues too. He hasn't been as good as he has been last year, but he's still steady. He's still a good player. And, 72 is playing really well. And then, you want to see that step up from Leatherwood, but I still thought they did a pretty good job run blocking this week. And I'm going to show that when I go over the run game a little bit.
The thing about this offensive line is we knew that there's a lot of new pieces and it's going to take time for everything to like coalesce, you know, and just like everyone get on the same page with everything.
Yeah.
Cause a lot of it is going to be communication. A lot of it is just going to be like small little fundamental details. After the bye week, we're going to see like what is still remaining as a question mark, or like if these things aren't being coached out, you know?
Yeah.
But, and then we could probably have a different discussion about that this potentially hurting the Raiders, but I agree, like what you're talking about with all the defensive ends that Leatherwood's going to have to go up against, right? They're just going to have to survive with this offensive line the way it is. And hopefully it doesn't, you know, start biting them in the butt.
Yeah, exactly. And Carr, I mean, Carr, I'm going to go more into the Carr facts. But, the receivers are just stepping up so much. You know, they're getting open a whole lot more. They're beating press a whole lot more. There's a lot of things going on that are really exciting to see. You know, they're getting open against really good corners. I mean, Xavier Howard is no joke, you know, and Ruggs was able to beat him a couple times, and, you know, on some good plays and just beating him off the line with speed. Ruggs looks so fast right now, dude. Like last year, he didn't look this fast. I mean, he must have been hurt. I don't know, because he looks fast on tape. I feel like he gets into his routes like in 2 seconds. He looks like he runs a 4.27 right now. I feel like last year he must have been hurt because I did not see that type of speed on the field. You could tell the corners feel it. They're scared. They're terrified of his speed, you know. And if he can, you know, win in the intermediate game and then make those contested catches, it's gonna be a big. Big season for him.
Big season.
Big season. Because, you know, even if he beats somebody deep and Carr misses, I mean, there's a good chance that he's still going to catch that football. Right. And I think
it's so fun to watch. This is like an interesting combination, probably unusual to be a speed guy with a big, big, big catch radius. You know, it's like, whoa, that's, and I think a lot of that too has played into. Because correct me if I'm wrong, when Carr is thrown to like certain people, like the ball is like the same way every time.
Uh-huh.
When he's throwing to Waller in the seam, like the ball is delivered the same exact way every time, right? Like they have a connection. But I feel like Carr's been struggling to find that with Ruggs.
Uh-huh.
And I think part of it is like, okay, just judging the speed of this player, which he's running faster than everyone else. Yeah. But then also thinking about leverage, maybe if you could throw them open. I think there's a lot to think about there. And if these guys can get it down, like get the connection down.
Yeah.
Like this is number one wide receiver stuff. Okay. Like this is rarefied area.
Yeah. Right? And I think he's starting to take that step. And I think Carr is starting to trust him because on a one play on the crosser that he made that contested catch, he had Xavier Howard beat pretty good. But Carr had to hold the safety because the safety just would have creeped over with Ruggs, right? If he didn't hold it, he stared at it. So he had to hold the guy for a little bit too long, longer than he probably wanted to hit him. So when he came back to Ruggs, he just threw it up in the air. And he's like, go get it. And that's what Ruggs did.
Yeah.
He went and got it.
Just really impressive yeah. body control. And the weight is a big factor here, because Xavier Howard jumps into Ruggs, right?
Mm-hmm.
And Ruggs, like, he's in midair. Like, he can't put his foot on the ground and push back against him, right?
Yeah.
But Howard bounces off Ruggs. Ruggs is just, like, stays strong.
Yeah.
Coming up for that ball. And Howard is the one bouncing off him. So that extra weight was necessary for sure for Ruggs.
Yeah, that game was a confidence booster for all those receivers. Right. Like, oh, man, we could beat anybody. Like,
you know,
they feel like they could beat anybody going forward. So it's going to be a good look for that. You know what I mean? All right, let me get this camera checked. All right, here we go. All right. Should we just get into it, BD?
Yeah, just go ahead.
Let's jump into it. All right. I think we're seeing a little bit of, you know, Kenyon Drake being demoted a little bit after this game, because, you know, Peyton Barber showed that he can be the backup running back. He showed that he could be the full-on backup pass blocking third down back. Now, I know he can't shake anybody and he's not really going to break any tackles like that. So, if, you know, for the checkdowns, I mean, Kenyon Drake is a better receiver than him at this point. But when it comes to pass protection and things like that, and you know, helping out the quarterback and allow them to get some deep passes there, I think that, you know, Barber really showed that he was a great player. But I, you know, he still was missing holes though. You know, there's some holes that he missed there that he definitely needed to see and make those cuts, especially late in the game. Oh, those are some big runs that he needed to get some yardage in to drain some clock. And I mean, he missed a couple holes there, you know, and that's just kind of why he's just inconsistent and why he's been on, I don't know how many teams he's been on, but he's been on a bunch of them. And that's kind of the reason why. I mean, you see that he's a little inconsistent. Sometimes he can be really great. You know, I know Matt Waldman's a big fan of him, and you probably kind of see why Matt Waldman's a big fan of him with those jump cuts and the way he runs the football and how hard he runs. But I think the vision is just inconsistent, right? It's not as bad as Drake's, which is odd because, I mean, when I watched Drake at Arizona, I mean, that's probably the best thing I saw from him was his vision and the way he could find holes. You know, maybe it's just the system he's in. He's not in the gap system right now. He's not running power. I know they're trying to get him going with the long trap, but that's probably only the main power run they're running right now. They're not running anything. They're not running many power O's. They're not doing pin pull sweeps. They're not doing anything like that in the power game. So, I mean, maybe that's why Drake is struggling. Because he's struggling outside zone too. He's not doing really well running the football, and then he's not pass blocking. And then now he's not playing in overtime.
That breakdown is pretty damning, man. Like, look, I don't care how great of an athlete you are.
Yeah.
If you can't protect the passer, you can't be a third down back.
No.
You know, like you're showing, there's going to be times where, the coach is calling in a play where he wants the running back to release and get downfield on a passing, on a route.
Yeah.
But if there's like a certain thing and the protection needs to be set, that running back gets his job changed. Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. So you can't avoid blocking as a running back. You just can't. And you know, it looks like Peyton Barber has been able to pick this up. Like, how long has he been on the team? He's picked this up super quick.
Yeah.
You know, so he's an upgrade in pass protection. Have we seen any ball security issues from these guys?
I mean, the
fumble coughs it up.
Yeah, there's the fumble from him. So, I mean, that was probably it for ball security. But, you know, that's my thing, too. You know, you don't want to depend on Peyton Barber, right? I think the Dolphins' runs defense is just really bad. I mean, that's a big factor here is that they're just not a really good run defense. They're pass rushers, you know, Christian Wilkins, they want to get after the passer. I mean, that's what they basically did all game, but in the run game, they got pushed around a little bit. Right. I mean, John Simpson, I mean, he had his way with some of those guys. He's able to push them around to the point where they're getting personal with him. They're getting kind of mad later in the game. So they were able to get some push and push some guys around in the run game. So, I mean, Peyton Barber did against the Dolphins, I mean, I don't know if he's going to do that every week, you know, and that's why you need Josh Jacobs back. But, I mean, he showed a lot in pass protection that Kenyon Drake just did not show, man. I mean, even the first week, you know, when Kenyon Drake was doing pass protection, he was getting rolled over too. It was just Carr was getting rid of the football. He was just getting in the way enough, you know what I mean? Like, and this week, I mean, he it didn't matter. I mean, they're just running through him, and it was a problem. And I know the third and 11, I mean, I'm sure, you know, that's why he didn't play in overtime, because I mean, that was a big part of it. That was a big part of that. I mean, if he gets in the way of that, and maybe Carr can just slide or something, I don't know. And then he can hit Renfro downfield. I mean, that's game. And there is no, you know, drive down the field to tie the game, you know? So, I mean, that call, I mean, that was on Drake. You know, Drake's got to make, he's got to step up and he's got to make that block, and he's got to understand the call too. I mean, if you know, you hear Monday or, you know, whatever, you know, Carr was calling, you know, let him know what the protection is. You got to know that, bro. You got to know what's going on, so you don't end up messing that up. So,
yeah, it's I feel like Barber is, like, you keep on saying, yeah, there's a reason why he's a backup, but yeah, there's a reason why he's been in the NFL this long too.
Yeah,
he's viable, you know.
Yeah.
And I feel like the only edge really that Kenyon Drake has is his ability after the catch, you know, in space. But everything else, Barber, like, that has to do with being a running back, Barber has a slight edge on Kenyon Drake. So
yeah.
Uh-huh. I mean, and we were talking about this before the show started. Jalen Richard might come back, right? Josh Jacobs might come back. What is this running back rotation going to look like? You know, that's going to be an interesting question mark.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting because, I mean, they waived Trey Regis. So, I mean, they're bringing up Jalen Richard. And, I mean, to be honest, I mean, Jalen Richard, I mean, he can't run the football like Barber. I mean, I mean the truth, but, like, he can catch just like Drake can. But he passes block. He probably pass blocks just as good as Barber does. So, if not better.
Yeah.
Right. So, and he picks up blitzes. You know, he sees what Carr sees.
Yeah.
So I think that's why Jalen Richard got called right back. I mean, they probably watched the tape and were like, okay, maybe we're getting Jacobs back. I mean, do we want to keep Barber? That's probably like something they might think about. Like, do we keep him? You know, because we paid Drake. So, I mean, they have to keep Drake. So, I mean, if Drake can't pass protect though, Jalen Richard can, right? Because, I mean, that was the whole thing with bringing in Drake. And when I watched Drake this summer, you know, I even showed it on the breakdown. I mean, he was a willing pass blocker, but he still was losing, right? He was willing.
He was. And unfortunately, that can only take you so far if your technique isn't great.
Yeah.
And what we're seeing from him right now, at least from those clips that you were showing me, flat-footed, he's not bringing it to the blitzer. He's kind of waiting and catching the guy. And, like, come on, like, that's just a simple science problem. Yeah. You know, like, if you're standing still and someone runs into you, you're gonna fall backwards. You got to go attack that guy. You got to meet that guy. So what we're seeing before, him being willing and stepping up, we're not seeing that anymore from Kenyon Drake for some reason. But best believe we will see it from Jalen Richard. You know, the guy's not afraid of COVID. He's not afraid of stepping up in the pocket. Okay, all right, delivering a shot to a linebacker. That's what I love about Jalen Richard. He's got that low center of gravity, but he also unloads on linebackers, you know, like, makes them feel it, punishes them, right?
Yeah.
There's always going to be a role for a player like that, or for a back like that, you know?
Yeah.
Can't really run the ball. All right. It's like,
hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
One every like 10 carries, he just takes advantage because, like, the defense isn't two man, and he has like a draw play or a screen play or something like that, where he gets, like, you know, 20 yards. And that's like once every three or four games with Jalen Richard. Like, that's the most production he's going to really get, honestly. Mm-hmm. But, you know, him being able to, like, that's the reason why they won the Jets game last year, because he stepped up and he met that blitzer, right?
Yeah.
And then Carr was able to climb the pocket and hit Henry Ruggs. Like, there's a lot of instances last year where Richard was making, like, game-saving plays, And what you just highlighted to us was that Drake missed that, right?
Mm-hmm.
And it put the game, this should not have gone to overtime. You know, it should not have gone to overtime.
Yeah.
There's some things I could talk about on the defensive side that made it go to overtime. But the Raiders should have put this team away for sure.
Yeah.
So, I think that was one reason that Drake blocked. That's one reason, you know, but there's also maybe another couple of reasons on defense too.
Yeah. Yeah. And, we saw some of those big throws that Carr was making, but like I said, once Derek started picking up the blitzes, cause I'm telling you in the second half, I don't know what the Dolphins decided, but they decided they were just going to let it all go. Like we're playing too conservative. But they played better in the first half, which was odd. And then they just came after Carr, and then he started beating them a little bit when they started blitzing. So it was odd. It was odd that they switched to that game plan, especially with some of the blitzes there. It's just weird. I mean, in the second half, I'm going to show this.
I think it's good for the Raiders that Derek Carr is not I think he's slept on a little bit. Like he's disrespected.
Yeah.
And some game plans that we're seeing against him, defensive coordinators don't think very highly of Derek Carr because they continually cover zero blitzing him and he's continually destroying it. So I don't understand why, every game this year we've seen cover zero blitzes just get beat last year several times, you know, so I don't get it. I don't get why the teams insist on cover zero blitzing him.
Yeah, yeah, because on three of the blitzes that they ran – let's just say three of the blitzes they just ran in overtime. Okay. Just overtime. They gave up. So 48 and then another third. So they gave up 82 yards on those three plays.
There you go.
So, I don't know what their plan was. I think it worked a little bit in some of the blitzes. And I think when they blitz early on, I think some of them worked, and I think that's why they thought, okay, if they're working early on, then maybe we could just start, going after him hardcore, and everything will work since we're getting there. And Kenyon Drake's not able to block it up, and we're still creating that matchup where it's our safety and the running back, and we think we can win that matchup. I think that's why they kept attacking it. But once Peyton Barber came in, it was a different story. And next thing you know, it's big play after big play after big play. So
Peyton Barber. There you go. That's a player I can get behind. I love the veterans who stick around.
The veterans that stick around. That's how you play, bro. I mean,
right.
That the pass blocking at the end of the game was paramount for the Raiders to pull this one out and score some points in overtime. So,
yeah. Anything else you want to talk about on offense?
Not really. Foster Moreau really struggled in run blocking. I think he was the main issue.
Yeah.
Of all the run blocks. It really wasn't the other linemen. I thought the third down run and the fourth down run in the first quarter, those were both Foster Moreau getting his butt kicked. I thought Darren Waller missed some blocks too on some of the runs. The tight ends, they got to block better, especially if they're going to be in 12 personnel trying to block. They got to do better, especially Foster Moreau. I don't know what that was. I think the guy was just getting off on him, and he wasn't able to get some good blocks going. But I thought he struggled there as well. But
Foster, you're gonna make John call up freaking Jason Witten again.
I know.
Come on, right? Foster. Come on, yeah. Foster.
Yeah,
he was getting his butt kicked. I saw that on the broadcast. But they tightened up towards the end of the game. They ended up rushing for over 100 yards, with one back on them, 111 yards for Barber. So,
yeah,
they figured it out eventually. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it's going to take some time. Like I said about the offensive line, the run game, everything, we're going to see after the bye week where it really is. But let's transition into defense, okay? So, first of all, Raiders, aside from just really a small handful of plays, had a really good game again on defense. There's a lot of great hustle, great pursuit to the football. These things are really encouraging to watch. The corners are always contesting everything. Mullen and Hayward are making it very difficult for every single receiver so far that we've seen. to get open and to like make clean catches. You know, even the catches that they give up, they're blanketing these guys, right? So that's fun to watch. You know, Bradley called a lot more blitzes, like, you know, probably twice as many blitzes as he's run all season he called in this game. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of that was to kind of take advantage of an offensive line that they might have thought was young and banged up, and there's new guys, new faces in the lineup, stuff like that. And I also think it probably had to do something with the RPO game, just like speeding up the process of the quarterback, you know, when this is such a RPO heavy offense. So I thought that was interesting. But here, I'll just jump into it
real quick.
There's some interesting position battles happening. Okay. When they had Dallin Leavitt as the dime, you know, player. Okay. It was basically the same coverage every single time for Dallin Leavitt.
Okay.
Now that instead of Gillespie, they're going with Devon Diablo as their dime backer, right? He's doing way more stuff than Dallin Leavitt ever did out there, including coming down on the line of scrimmage and blitzing off the edge. It's clear that they think highly of this player. They gave him a single digit, okay? And he's out there 230 pounds carrying three vertical across the field, you know, clamping down on him and running around. Someone said, is there any chance? Okay, someone asked me. I forget where it was. It was on Twitter. It was, you know, on a YouTube comment. I don't know. Mm-hmm. Someone asked me, is there any chance Devon Diablo is the dime backer? Okay, and I said, no, he's a linebacker. Right.
Yeah.
Like they were like, is Devon Diablo going to be one of those safeties in a three safety package? And I was like, no, he's a linebacker. They drafted him to be a linebacker. Well, they just lined him up as safety. So I was wrong about that. And he looked pretty good, except for that one, you know, that one error. So it's going to be an interesting story to monitor. He's going to be slowly chipping away at Corey Littleton's playing time. You know, if that's what they want, if that's how they want to use him.
Interesting. That was very interesting. That is something that I did not, you know, I don't know how many people actually noticed that. That was like some, I mean, that's the greatness of Al-22 right there, bro. Cause I mean, that's something you don't see safeties like that. And you know, like you knew he was on the field, right? Like you knew he played a lot, but you didn't know. I mean, you can see where exactly he was playing. And that was super interesting. I mean, cause that is, you know, I feel like that's, you know, what's Gus Bradley and all those Seattle guys, they all have a knack for knowing where to put guys to succeed. Like you see Dan Quinn, he's got Michael Parsons playing defensive end, you know, and I don't know how many NFL guys would actually have done that. And I, you know, tried to do it, you know what I mean? Like, and saw that skill set and you're like, you know what? I could put you at defensive end and I can have you rush the passer as a sub package rusher. And he's doing really well at it. Right. I mean, we saw that in college that he could do that. But there's probably some coach that would have pigeonholed him and just to be a linebacker, and he wouldn't have been as effective and been as impactful as he could be. But, you know, those Seattle guys, that's something they learned from Pete Carroll is like, you know, you got to adapt to your system to who you have and your talent around you. So, I mean, if you have a bunch of guys that, you know, it's better to play too high, then they're probably going to play a little bit more too high. If they have a bunch of guys that, you know, do these things well, they're going to make you do these things. So I think that was very interesting. I really liked what I saw there. I mean, just from watching him, you know, in coverage, because I mean, that's the best thing he did in college. I mean, he wasn't the greatest tackler in the world. You know, he didn't take on blocks, but he could cover. You know, and that's just, I mean, he was running with, you know, corners then in college. So playing safety. So not corners, wide receivers. I'm saying corners. He's running wide receivers. So,
and he ran with some wide receivers. You know, the length is like shocking to see out there. And the interesting thing about it is no one so far, like Nate Hobbs has played just nickel. He's basically playing linebacker out there. Right.
Yeah, uh-huh.
They just swap out KJ Wright for Nate Hobbs and then nothing changes. Like they line up in the same spots. They play the same exact coverages. When they're playing cover three, yada, yada, yada.
Mm-hmm.
Right? But at no point has Nate Hobbs like rotated back and played like a deep coverage or like done something like that. Whereas Devon Diablo comes in and he's playing now multiple positions. he's playing linebacker and he's playing safety. So that's the most interesting thing to me about it.
Yeah.
Is like, he's obviously in multiple position groups. If he knows, okay, I need to take three vertical and carry him so that whoever has him can drop off and be the rat. He is with the safeties learning that. You don't learn that in the linebacker room. There's no point in learning that.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? You don't learn the technique to keep that man coverage going. So I think that that's super interesting, honestly, that he's playing two positions. They tried it with your boy Kuntz.
Mm-hmm.
And then they were like, okay, we need KJ Wright.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But it looks like that's what's happening. That's the plan for Devon Diablo. So that's super interesting to me. So anything else you want to talk about that before we go, before we move on?
It kind of just bothers me a little bit, you know, because that had to be in the training camp. Come on, dude. There's no way that they went all through training camp. He knows it that well, and they never put him there in practice.
You're mad at the beat reporters.
Yeah, there's just no way. There's no way.
They never reported that. Yeah.
No way that you play. Like, the Washington, there's no way you come and you play those coverages like that unless you practice it.
Yeah.
You just don't go out there and just carry three vertical. Like, oh, that's my job. No, that doesn't work like that. No, bro.
Right.
He should have been out there confused, and he wasn't. So that means he's probably been practicing that for a while. That's what that means.
And we'll see. I think the sky's the limit. I think he's a little indecisive out there, but the movement skills is obviously great. The size is great.
Yeah.
He gets more decisive. I think he could be a guy out there for sure. Going back to, I think, what the thorn in the side of this defense is right now is stopping the scrambling quarterback, okay?
Mm-hmm.
We saw it against Lamar Jackson. Okay, it's Lamar Jackson. Jacoby Brissett, that shouldn't be a problem. No, it was still a problem. Jacoby Brissett, I like the guy. You know, he's not, like, the most dynamic athlete as a quarterback. He's, you know, just got some sauce to him. But the Raiders got to figure out a way to stop these scrambling quarterbacks from gaining that first down on third and long. It's something when I watch the Chiefs playing Gus Bradley last few years.
Yeah.
That's consistently how Patrick Mahomes beat them. It wasn't passing the ball. Patrick Mahomes doesn't have great stats passing the ball against Gus Bradley defense. But when the Chiefs beat them, it was because Patrick Mahomes continually ran for first down on third and long. Okay. When he didn't want to throw into too high or whatever it was. So the Raiders got to figure this out. I don't know if it's going to be spying him, getting, you know, maybe you, that's how you work Diablo into the package by having him as a quarterback spy. Mm-hmm. But the Raiders got to do something about the scrambling quarterback because it's gashing them and it's shooting them in the foot.
Yeah. And I mean, they don't have a scrambler coming, but they got a guy who's going to try to get out of the pocket and make a play. Downfield. Yeah. I mean, that's the only way they throw it out field is him being improvising because they don't do it like out of the pocket. But I mean that's coming up next week. So they're gonna have to. I think they're gonna be able to get pressure from the right side. I'm not getting into the preview, but you know, because they're pretty weak. The Chargers don't have a good right side of the offensive line. So they're going to have to make sure that once they get pressure, which they will, it's been 3 weeks in a row. I mean, it's not crazy. They're going to get pressure.
They're going to get pressure. Yeah.
They're going to get pressure. Right. So since they're going to get pressure, they got to take Herbert down, man. They can't, I mean, he's going to try to get rid of the ball quick too. So they got to be ready to jump on stuff too. I think, you know, you can't let what the Chiefs were doing and just, you know, send blitzes. I don't think you can blitz him really. Because he's a smart guy. I mean, he's like Derek Carr. He's a smart dude. He's just going to replace it. I mean, that's what he did to the Chiefs. The Chiefs want to play cover zero like idiots and, you know, not respect somebody. I hate that. Do you guys not watch tape? But, you know, and he's getting these wide open shallows and he's just, you know, getting hit and like, throwing the shallow and this 20 yards down the field. So I think the Raiders, they have to get home with four this week. And I think that's, you know, I think they'll be able to do it, but you know, you're right. They have to take down a quarterback for sure.
Yeah. Keep him in the pocket. And if he does break the pocket, someone's got to be there, you know, to punish him for it, just make him pay for it. Right. If he keeps on breaking the pocket. You know, we'll see how that progresses. You know, my thoughts about the entire defensive line. I think everyone's playing great, honestly. Filon comes in at three technique and one technique, so he subs out Hankins and Jefferson. Mm-hmm. So it's a good little three-man rotation, and when they want to really rush the passer, then they put Solomon Thomas in there alongside with Quentin Jefferson or Darius Filon, you know. Yeah. So all these guys are creating some push. Obviously, Max Crosby and Ethan Gakwe, they're making it. They're getting it started. But these interior guys we've seen play well, a lot of that is because quarterbacks are having to do something and escape and get to a second reaction because of the pressure that Crosby and Unique are creating. We just got to start seeing now a defensive tackle, one of these interior guys, mm-hmm. start capitalizing on it even more so than they have been. So one of these guys is going to have to keep on ascending. I like some things that I've seen from Solomon Thomas.
Yeah, okay.
But it's mostly effort. It's like second, third reaction. You know, I think Darius Filon is having some quicker wins, especially against the run.
Uh-huh.
Getting that penetration into the backfield. And I think that Jefferson's probably the best pass rusher out of all of these guys. So they're just going to have to keep on playing it into, playing it into existence and seeing which one of these guys can continue to ascend. But I think the Raiders defense is going to need it. I don't think that it can just rest on the edge rushers. Someone else is going to have to really step up too.
Yeah, I agree with that for sure. It's funny. I just had to pull up how many snaps Diallo had played a free safety. It says 16. Now I'm looking at his grade. Of course, you know, PFF only grades when you get targeted. So he has a bad coverage grade because he had one target.
Yeah.
Even though we just saw him playing good coverage like three times, it's hilarious. Anyways,
So some interesting things to keep your eyes on. I think that's gonna do it for me. Yeah, okay. I think it's about time. So Raider Nation, we appreciate you guys for tuning in to the Tape Don't Lie podcast. If you're listening to this on Apple or Spotify or what's the other one that you said at the beginning.
Apple, Spotify. I don't know what else is there, right?
I thought you said another one. Sound Dog or something like that.
Sound Dog.
I thought you said something like that.
That's a new one, bro. I don't know what
that is. That's a new one. Okay, yeah. There's also Twitter. If you're listening to it, wherever you find your podcast, make sure you hit the download button so you get them straight onto your device. If you're watching this on YouTube, make sure you hit the like button. Smash that like button, bro. Okay, turn on post notifications. Tell everyone about the Tape Don't Lie podcast. Follow myself on Twitter at BDWilliams18. Follow Marcus on Twitter at TheMarkJohnNFL. And also make sure you get yourself some Manscaped. Enter promo code TDL at manscaped.com for 20% off. That's it, Raider Nation. We appreciate y'all.
Peace.